I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wapan, dear listener. It's Tom.
It's Ben.
And Wapan, it is Matthew as well. And welcome to an episode of Beepo's Cold Cuts.
Guess what? We're in your ears. We're in your week. We're back into the ear canal. We go. We've always been in your ear canal.
We've always been there.
I don't know. Sorry to interrupt, Ben.
No, not at all.
Let's get to the bottom of this. Are we always in the listener's ear canal? Only pipe up now?
Yeah.
Or do we pop away and pop back in?
We don't really leave the ear canal. It's a bit like, you know what? It's a bit like The Shining. At the end of The Shining, you see a photo of the ear canal.
Spoiler.
And, oh, sorry, mate. Has anyone seen Doctor Sleep?
No.
Nor will we.
But you look at a photo of the ear canal, and there we are, stood there. We've always been there.
Picture that, if you will, if it helps.
If it helps.
Well, we're welcome. We're welcome.
We're welcome. Can I just say, we're very welcome in your ear canal.
Very welcome in your ear canal.
This is an episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
I always enjoy these.
These are fun. These are really fun.
It's a doozy as well.
What's nice is we always get our dear pals along to help us sort out your beefs.
Yeah. And we couldn't have a dearer pal with us today than our good friend, Mr. Ivo Graham. What a gent.
What a lovely guy.
And we'll solve beefs. If you've got any beefs that you want to solve, send them in.
Yes, it's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Or you could send them via the Patreon. We have people send them in from the Patreon. That's good. Which is patreon.com/ Pappy's Flat Share.
Please keep supporting the Patreon. We can't do it without your help.
Yes, and of course, if you are a member of the Patreon, you are guaranteed to get your beef.
That's right. A beef solved guaranteed on the air.
Well, enjoy these beefs.
And enjoy your life.
Ooh.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
So, hello, we've got Ivo Graham with us here.
Woo-woo. Hello, friends.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
That's a total pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
And what kind of a flatmate are you?
I'd say not massively reliable and a bit messy, but always quite keen to make up for it if possible. I'd say I'll never lose the plot completely.
Yeah.
I'll have...
You're never going to do a dirty protest.
Absolutely not.
It's that never going to go said, like Hunger, the movie Hunger. You've never done the shit up the walls.
No.
Okay, fair enough.
I have to say...
no wonder he didn't want to eat.
In Edinburgh 2013, I did live with the, let's call them what they are, rival sketch three-piece wit tank.
Yes.
You tell us this now.
I did do. I think you were aware of it at the time.
On their fucking podcast.
I would absolutely love to if they just get the band back together. But not all sketch three pieces are ploughing on with the resilience that
Thank you. We'll take that. Resilient.
Resilience.
Well, that's going on the poster.
What poster?
The poster for what?
The most resilient sketch team. It's not a bad compliment, actually.
Still going. Still going. 3 stars.
Believe it or not.
So you lived with the wit tanks.
I lived with the wit tanks, and it was broadly a very happy time. But I got into a relationship outside of the flat, that fringe, and so started spending more and more time elsewhere. And unfortunately...
Well, they got jealous.
No, they didn't get jealous. I don't think they gave two figs until on one of my increasingly rare returns to the flat, just to do a wash, etc. Because you can't be doing that with the new GF.
That's very, very crucial, isn't it? You've got to keep it fresh.
That's absolutely it. But I did not leave it fresh at the Wit Tank flat because I did an unwitting dirty protest where I, number two'd in a hurry, departed the flat, didn't realise that it hadn't all left the building.
Wow.
And then didn't return to the flat for... 3 days, and apparently it blocked the loom.
What?
And it became an increasingly noxious problem in the flat. It was referred to by their director and sometime flatmate Adam Brace as the Black Barge.
But very poetic man, Adam Brace. Even when it's just a big shit, he can really spin it on a sixpence, can't he?
And turn it into the draft of a play that he would write.
The Black Barge. I like it. I'd go and see that.
Had you been drinking?
But unfortunately, they did have to.
Had you been drinking a lot of Guinness? Or
no, I don't think I was into Guinness by then. I think that was that's more of a recent thing. So, you know, pity the poor fools who have to live with my barges now. And I'll tell you what, ale has really taken it up a gear as well, but that's not for now. But no, this was a standard sort of, you know, Coors Light, occasional WKD, 22-year-old Graham Barge, and fresh out of uni and still pooing fairly innocently. But because I wasn't there, I didn't realise that it was such a problem, but they didn't bring it up with me for a bit. And then, but obviously they were quite angry that it had happened because it was, it's obviously just a terrible thing to have happened.
And they left it there? They just left it there for you to...
They said, I can't remember exactly who was the first one to sort of venture the problem, but it was suggested that I get a plumber in.
But you have to pay for a plumber? It was that bad? It was not like a plunger type situation? You couldn't just...
I think I was certainly willing to do my... I'll be honest, I've sort of... dove into this quite bleak anecdote without really sort of remembering all the key details. Because, yeah, surely it's just a case of either would you come back and bring a plunger and sort it out. But for whatever reason, it just didn't have... It became... It was a saga. It became a saga. And I haven't lived with Wet Tank since, and I haven't seen two of them for years.
Do you think that's the reason they broke up?
No, I don't.
Are you the reason?
Are you responsible?
No. Can enjoy you a Wet Tank show?
You drove a Black Barge between them.
Barge cannot be held solely responsible.
You wouldn't think a barge could kill a tank. No.
And yet,
but there we have it.
But also, surely their output is also to blame.
I know they're not as resilient.
I've got a lot of time for the Wet Tank Boys in all their solo and indeed their trio adventures.
Yeah. Well, Kieran, one third of Wet Tank did a show last year at the Fringe which was loosely about the history of Wet Tank and rise and fall.
I was away. I wasn't at the Fringe this year, so I would have loved to have seen a show about the history of Wet Tank told from one of Wet Tank.
Yes, if it does a London transfer, I'll be with you in the front row because I'm, you know, still quite paranoid that it's.
Or the Black Barge is
going to wait for a beer.
It gets to the 40-minute lull, and he brings out
the Black Barge. Maybe not front row for you, then.
Now, some of you may be wondering why I've been dressed as a sailor for this entire time.
All aboard!
Right, let's start with a beef. Dealer's choice, Ivo. Do you want to go with a short beef or a long beef?
Let's have a long beef.
Let's start with a long beef. There you go. Oh, it's a long beef.
Lovely.
Can you tell us who that is from, please?
Yes, it's from... what name at the end?
Yes, please.
Deirdre.
It's from Deirdre.
It's signed off, Yours in Christ, Deirdre.
Okay,
oh,
all right.
Oh, my God.
Tantalising.
Right. Yours in Christ, Deirdre. Yours. Thank you, Deirdre.
Christ alive.
I'd love it if this beef came from a convent.
Well, you asked for shout-outs from nuns before, haven't you?
Well, that's the...
If there are any people of the...
Yes, that's right. Of course.
If there are any people of the cloth listening to Beef Brothers Cold Cuts...
Maybe this is what's happened.
Reverend Richard Cole would be a good member of the clergy to have on. I think he'd be a good one.
Reverend and the Makers.
Sister Wendy, I think, has passed... Unfortunately,
Sister Mary Clarence? Or she was famously not a real nun.
Not a real nun, although Whoopi is coming to the UK to reprise the role.
Yeah, of course.
In the live show, maybe we can get her on board. Will she do it in character? Who knows?
I think you'd be well within your rights to insist on it.
I think we would. Have we gotten in with Whoopi? Well, find out in next week's episode. But for now, Deirdre's with us in Christ.
So, full email.
Let's pick through it moment by moment.
Okay. Hi team. This email is written in pseudonyms to protect the innocent and guilty, including me.
Already,
I like this.
Yeah, stuff. This is good stuff.
Thank you, Deirdre. Whets the appetite, doesn't it?
It does.
Noms de plume. this is a.
Has she opted for Deirdre as her nom de plume?
That's it. Yeah.
Is that because of dear Deirdre? Do you think?
Oh, the agony aunt.
Yeah.
Maybe.
God, the aunt becomes the niece. the
old phrase, the aunt becomes the niece.
I've glanced ahead and the other pseudonyms aren't as good, I'm afraid.
Okay. She spent a lot of time on her own one.
This is a second-hand beef that I'm sending you because my advice on this issue so far has been pretty brutal and maybe there's a more creative solution.
Okay.
Okay.
Fingers crossed.
We're not known for our creativity, more our resilience.
No. Yes, that's absolutely right.
We'll give you a resilience solution.
All you've got to do is be less brutal than Deirdre.
Okay.
The scenario, my friend, let's call her Amy, is moving in with her boyfriend, let's call him Barry. Barry lives in a house he owns with a flatmate, let's call him Colin.
Okay.
The ABC.
Okay. ABC. Very, yeah, that's easy to remember.
Colin and Barry have been friends for some time and have flatted together for a couple of years. Colin's in his late 30s and works in IT. He is gross. He
gross. All right, let's
Pasta's
stop there.
An absolute fact.
Yeah. Yes.
Here we go.
These are, yeah, you know, to sum him up in just a few phrases, he's late 30s, works in IT, gross.
Tick, tick, tick.
Okay, Deirdre, she may be with us in Christ. She's not with Barry in Christ.
No, she's absolutely not.
Okay.
Gross is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love gross. Such a good word.
Does she explain how the grossness manifests itself?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's hear it.
There's a whole paragraph of grossness to come. He never does any housework.
Okay. Gross.
Never
gross.
Cleans the kitchen or bathroom.
That gross. Is gross. Gross.
This is an Alicia Dixon song, I think, isn't it? never takes out the rubbish. never even puts his own rubbish in the bin.
That's bad.
That's
really bad.
I think never taking out the rubbish, obviously also despicable, but the sort of thing that, you know, is an easy thing to slide into, whereas not putting your own rubbish in the bin. Anyway, he's antisocial too, which is fine. We all have our social issues. Very respectful. But it's still a factor in the strain that's developed in their friendship, and it means that Colin and Amy haven't ever bonded. So Amy doesn't want to live with Barry and Colin. She wants to live with Barry. They decided to move in together at the start of this year, and Amy was concerned that Barry would be too meek to tell his friend that he'd have to move out. Barry steeled himself and did it, though, and Colin had over 4 months' notice to find himself a new place to live. It's now 2 weeks until Amy moves out of her old flat and into Barry's house, and Colin is still there.
Of course
this
he is.
This is tense.
Right,
Colin, it turns out, hasn't been paying rent since Barry gave him notice.
What?
This was agreed gross. By the two of them because Colin's work contract is due to finish about the same time as the move-out date, so Barry's incredibly generously helping Colin save money ahead of a change of circumstances.
Let's stop there.
I don't think that's a thing.
Barry's a mug.
Let it be noted that Barry is therefore paying the mortgage entirely on his own.
I think I realise why Deirdre's been so brutal.
Yeah,
here.
Of course.
Because Barry is being walked all over here.
Mm. Barry's a good egg.
He's a good egg slash mug.
he's a good egg, a bad mug.
Yeah, he's a good egg and a bad mug, exactly.
exactly.
Yeah, correct. Exactly, Clarkie.
Of course.
It's a good egg, bad mug.
And by the way, Clarkie, you're also a good egg and a bad mug.
I think that's fair, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's carry on.
Yeah.
It also turns out Colin hasn't found a new flat and will instead be moving back in with his mum. This is my favourite sentence so far. Now, we've got a housing crisis, sure, and there's no shame in living with your mum.
No. All of that we agree with.
But I believe that this information is being used to make Barry feel bad for kicking Colin out and creating a suboptimal living situation for his friend. It further turns out that Colin has got Barry to agree to help him move his stuff, i.e. hire a trailer, pack it, drive it and unpack it. Heaven forfend that Colin should organise any of this himself or put in some time/effort/money to avoid Barry having to help with a move out as well as a move in. Barry's position is that he and Colin are friends. Colin's in a tight spot and it's a decent thing to support him emotionally and financially and
good
help him
move. Egg, bad mug.
Yes. Amy's position is that once Colin is out, he's out and she'll do whatever she can to make that happen smoothly, but she doesn't want Barry taken advantage of and is not going to spend her own money and effort cleaning up after a grown man who should know better.
My position is that on move-out day, either Colin moves his own shit, or I come round and move it out for him onto the street and set fire to it.
Deirdre!
Right, this is where she's saying she's too brutal. Because
she's a bad egg, but a
Deirdre,
good one.
Deirdre, it comes swinging into this setup.
Yeah.
Chill out, Deirdre.
Can we just ask as well? I mean, we're going to ask this question, but we're not going to know the answer. Who is Deirdre to these guys? Just an
she's Amy's pal.
Just a pal of Amy's. So she's not, because she's not Amy.
Oh,
yeah. You see, she's not Amy. She's not the girlfriend here.
But she's having to listen to Amy.
She's having to listen to Amy. Have to deal with this situation. Right. Okay, yeah.
Take us home, Ivo.
And we've had him set fire to it. Colin's a grown man. He's had all the help in the world already, and he's responsible for his own situation. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury,
Lovely.
Put it to you that Colin is a dick.
There's a lot.
Good head, bad mug,
dick.
Now, here's your question answered here. How am I even involved in this, you may ask?
We have.
I'm just a hard-nosed bystander, and since the worst my flatmate slash partner in sex does is... that's her. She's now talking about her own.
Yes, it's the worst thing that my flatmate slash partner in sex does.
Yeah, is leave his shoes in front of whichever door he's just walked through, so I trip over them every bloody time. I figured you'd get more juice out of this scenario than mine. So that's, she's just included a little sneak peek into her own domestic situation.
Do we want to very quickly solve Deirdre's beef?
Set fire to his shoes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Amazed she hasn't done it already.
Set fire to the shoes.
Set fire to his shoes, you crazy arsonist. Okay, so I think there's a lot of emotion in this beef.
It's a tender beef.
It's kind of like I think Deirdre's overreaching here to get involved.
Oh.
I'm actually...
Could you not say the same of us when we offer to solve strangers' beefs?
We're just doing our job, man. Deirdre's trampling on our ground. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
She's kind of setting herself up as, this is our job. Barry and Colin.
Yes. So Barry's the good guy, well, the mug. Colin is the gross guy.
I am going to be quite impartial here and say, let's not say that. Let's say this. Barry and Colin are friends.
Yes.
That we know is a fact.
Yes.
Impartially, they're friends. They're friends who've lived together for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, Amy may not like the way Colin lives with Barry, but Barry and Colin have lived together for a while, and they seem to be happy. Amy's come on the scene, sure. She wants change, and Barry, as we know, is a good egg. He's happy to make that change.
Do you think... Are you questioning whether or not Barry wants the change?
Well, whether he wants the change or not, he is changing. But crucially, he is making that change as smooth as possible for everyone. He's allaying his guilt of getting rid of Colin.
Yes.
By making it financially easier for Colin. He's helping him out with the move. What's wrong with that? That's the right thing to do. It's going to help him in the long run because he's not going to feel bad about kicking his mate out.
I think that's a good perspective, but here's the thing.
Let me finish. Bitches be crazy.
Right, yeah. Small problem with the way you ended that.
What?
But everything up to that point...
Bitches are crazy.
Oh, sorry.
Everything up to that point, very well reasoned. Clarkey, counterpoint.
Here's the thing, though. I think you are right in a lot of that, but... Colin is moving in with his mother. So all the saving of rent stuff that he's been doing is that's really underhand then, isn't it? Because you're not saving money for your next move.
Mm. He could still be. He could be
unless his mum's charging him rent.
Well, or but unless moving in with his mum is phase two of the saving money process. You know, like he could be saving up for a deposit to, you know, to perhaps buy a house or just saving up for enough money to be able to be in a situation where he can rent.
If we're really drilling into the financials, can I draw your attention to the use of the word mortgage? It's not rent. Barry is therefore paying the mortgage entirely on his own. So who owns this house?
Yeah,
Barry.
Well, if Barry owns the house, because what did he describe? Colin's not been paying rent.
Colin's not. Hang on.
Here we go.
Yes, Colin hasn't been paying rent since Barry gave him notice. So Barry's the landlord.
Barry is the landlord.
So Barry is the landlord. No.
Daddy's good. Okay.
Barry's on the ladder.
Barry's on the ladder.
So Barry is paying full, you know, all the money.
Yeah.
But is just going into his own property.
Yeah, and also that's
nice.
That's the law.
It's a nice position.
That's what you're supposed to do. You know, if he doesn't pay it all, then you know how he makes that money, whether it's to rent out the room or whatever. That's academic. He has to pay his mortgage.
I wonder if he's going to charge Amy.
Good question. That is a good question. If we could find out that little detail,
she's going to have.
You've
got
to though, right?
She's going to have to contribute.
What's that?
Amy's going to have to contribute.
Yeah.
I think, yes.
Otherwise, it seems weird.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a kept person, do you?
So and also, I don't think she'd have the beef if... I don't think she'd be as upset if she wasn't going.
If she was going into a free house.
What this feels like now... this feels like now is a Victor putting the boot in. Right? Amy's won, right?
A Victor and an evictor.
Yeah, exactly. The Victor evictor, right?
Yes.
This is dancing on someone's grave here. Colin's out. He's going back to his mom's. What more do you want? You don't want Barry to help with the move? You want Barry to charge the last bits of month? So can't they just let...
What she needs to do is, rather than complain about Colin, is praise Barry. What you need to do is, you know what, Barry? You have done a brilliant thing here. You can't feel guilty. Of course you feel guilty, but you can't feel guilty because you've done everything you could do. And you know what? Colin's living with his mum now. He's going to get closer to his mother. You know, that's a good thing.
Deirdre should just be happy.
Family should be close to
get close to his mother.
Is it, you know, like...
Maybe his mum's going to learn how to use the computer.
Exactly, yes.
A gross IT whiz moving in.
She's finally going to get that super fast broadband she's always wanted. He's going to set it up for her.
Colin might learn to be cleaner. Mm. You know, that maybe he needs a bit of years with his mum. Just to remind him.
You've got to feel sorry for the mum if he's like... You know, because the thing is, he could go back and regress even further.
Yeah.
You know, he could go back and become a total slob where he's letting his mum do all his washing, letting his mum do, you know, pick up after him. So you've got to feel sorry for the mum here. But, you know, the mum is not really involved in this beef. Mm. You can't go that far into the beef.
We can't stop worrying about Colin's long-term future.
No.
This is about managing the transition.
The situation.
Exactly, exactly.
Deirdre needs to be happy for Amy because she's found a really good egg.
Yeah, who's on the ladder?
Who's on the ladder?
Yeah,
crucially on the ladder. So we champion Barry. Let him do his thing. Let him offset his guilt.
Yes,
about kicking out his lifelong friend.
Yeah,
not lifelong friend. I don't think they've been friends for some time.
Sometime.
And have flattered for a couple of years.
Okay.
So this isn't a sort of
it's
meaningful, but it's not the end of a massive era.
Bazza can afford it. Bazza can afford to hire a trailer.
Yes, he can.
Yeah.
I find the thing about these sorts of transition periods is sometimes you just absorb a little bit more of the work or the financials than reasonably someone like Barry ought to. But ultimately, in 6 months, Amy and Barry are going to be living happily together. And this transition period is going to be a distant memory already.
Yeah.
You know.
He could even sort of share the freehold with her. And he's going to make a sweet bit of cash on the side.
Put her on the deed.
Put her on the deed.
Put her on the deed.
Put her on the deed. You know what? I think that's our solution. Is a friend on the deed. That's right. I really regret putting you guys on my house.
No, thank you, though. Very generous of you.
It's good making the whole, you know, we're looking at new houses at the moment. We're thinking of moving. It's making the whole process complicated. Yeah. But
here we are.
We're not selling up.
We're very comfortable with where you are. Thank you.
This is it.
You've got that crawl space. We need it.
For storing old props. Exactly, yeah. If I move to a place that doesn't have a crawl space, where are we going to keep the big light from last show ever?
Where are we going to crawl?
Where are we going to crawl? Won't somebody think of Tom and Ben wanting to crawl
around? Not back
to BBC3. So in which case, don't criticise Colin. Celebrate Barry.
Be pleased for Amy. Get her on the D's.
Yes, and also Deirdre, with respect, you know, slightly less aggressive...
attitude to your friend's, you know, dynamos, I'd say.
Yeah, I think just if you want to let out that aggression, set fire to your flatmate's shoes.
I think that's actually probably what's really going on.
Because you can see as well that you go, Deirdre, your loyalty to your friend here, you're getting so angry on her behalf, is the same kind of loyalty that Barry and Colin have to each other.
Yes. Maybe you're the Colin.
Mate, yes.
Deirdre, would you message us back? Deirdre, are you gross?
Oh, we should have asked that.
Yeah, we should have asked. Deirdre, can you send us a message, please? Get us on Twitter at Pappy's Tweet or beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. Are you gross? Or... Yes or no is all we need, Deirdre. Yes or no. Beef solved.
Beef closed. Beef brothers sorting out your beef
solved. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Clarkie, do you want to do Mary?
Absolutely.
Mary is her. That's a first name, isn't it? It's a front name.
Yeah.
Mary also sounds like a name.
It's not hyphenated.
Why'd you have to go and make your name so hyphenated?
Okay. Well, we'll call her Mary. Front names only.
Front names only. Mary.
We'll bleep out the word when we discussed it here.
For a while, I was quite obsessed with trying to write an Avril Lavigne.
I remember this, yes. It made it into our show, into I think two previews of our 2007 show.
Oh, my God.
When I was playing Abraham Lincoln.
That's right.
You wanted to sing to me, why'd you have to go and get your ass assassinated?
Yeah, because I just thought it was a really good lyric.
Because it's got the word ass three times
ass,
in it.
Ass assassinated.
Why'd you have to go and get your ass assassinated?
Yeah.
And the audience...
Why'd you have to go and get your ass assassinated? I mean, it's a nice bit of business, but...
And you sang it to me as Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it just didn't click with the crowds.
I mean, we gave it our usual resilience, but...
We gave it a good old go.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I would have been assassinated. There we go.
You know what? If we'd been around... I mean, we are still around. Let's not start talking about ourselves as if we're not around anymore. But if we had been maybe... around maybe 4 or 5 years later, we would have made that into a fun pop video. Yes. Do you not think so? Like we would have Midnight Beasted it, and we would have gone, let's make a fun pop video. But we never had the technology, we never had the skills, we never knew anyone who could do that sort of thing.
Foil Arms and Hog would have had that on TikTok by the end of the day.
Exactly right.
Foil Arms and Hog would, oh, absolutely, would have turned it into a musical.
Exactly, there you go.
Mary writes...
My partner and I both have a room in the house, which is just ours.
Hang on.
Oh. We're talking two rooms.
Each. Yeah.
All right.
Mine has our spare bed and my clothes and books.
Wait, can we just clarify here?
Yeah,
we're talking about, they've presumably got a bedroom they share. They've also got their own little den.
They're Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Cartering it on a smaller scale.
Yes.
Nice. His... is a black hole of crap.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mine's got a spare bed.
Didn't you do a black hole of crap in the toilet?
His is a real black barge. So, sorry, we talked over you reading what hers was like. What's hers like?
Mine has our spare bed and my clothes and books. His is a black hole of crap.
Is it your room,
crap.
Mary?
Or
is it the
spare guest room?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's her room.
Or is it just the dream is... Who can afford it? She's clearly doing quite well. But you get a room where you can kind of get ready in the mornings.
Oh,
that's quite good. To not disturb your partner if they have to sleep in.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Or, you know, like, I think that's...
I quite like that.
Quite like disturbing your partner?
No. I mean, you know me, I'm disturbing everyone right now.
So she's got like a spare room, basically, that she kind of calls hers because she keeps the books in there and her clothes in
spare
there.
Spare bed, clothes and books.
And he has got what would be
hole of crap.
The junk room, I'm guessing here.
My favourite Muse album.
Could be,
sure.
Could it be?
Maybe.
Might be.
Can I tell you a very quick, amazing Muse thing?
Yes.
Yeah, 30 seconds max. I was at a gig and talk turned to Muse, as it says.
Of course it did. It's a comedy gig rather than a Muse gig.
No, it was a comedy gig. Yeah. I wasn't trying to riff about Muse from the audience of a Muse gig. And someone was claiming that they were a big fan of Muse, and I said, "Do you own any Muse albums?" And he said, "I've got an Uprising 6-inch. And I said, I don't want to hear about that, mate. You got any Muse? But he couldn't even, he hadn't conceived of that being a...
No.
You know, sometimes when you say to people, if you're not laughing at that, then you're dead.
Yeah.
And that's not me complimenting my own sort of skit.
You've got a super massive black hole of crap. Yeah.
Imagine saying I've got an Uprising 6-inch and not thinking that I might be sexual.
Wow, God. It's very good.
I went to see Muse with Parry. We went to see Muse together in the MEN Arena in Manchester. We did the pilgrimage to go and see them. And the drummer, Dominic, what's his name?
Howard.
Dominic Howard. I was going to say Dominic Holland, but he's a stand-up comedian and the father of Spider-Man.
Yes.
So not that guy. He didn't show up. He actually came up and seemed to do the same, tried to do the same riff, and it just didn't work. Anyone here got an Uprising 6-inch? Just I'm dying up here.
My son's Spider-Man.
He came out, and do you remember, we were right up close to the front, and he fired a champagne into the audience, and I threw myself backwards to catch it in my mouth, and I landed on the ground, caught the champagne in my mouth, but when I stood up, both my shoes had disappeared. I leapt out of my shoes for some reason. Yeah. And
he will leap out of his shoes for champagne.
So then the encore kicks off, and the mosh bit continues, and I'm like, okay, all right, yeah.
Where are my shoes?
The black hole of revelation I need is where my fucking kickers are, mate.
did you find them?
I did in the end, yeah.
At the end of the gig, yeah.
I was scrabbling around trying to find them.
As in the blast of the cork?
That was genuinely what I was wondering as well.
Cork in the mouth.
Trying to catch the liquid, I tried to catch the champagne. But I did catch the champagne in my mouth. He was like, he sort of sprayed it in a sort of jet, you know, he didn't like fan it out like a Formula One style. He sort of like, he's fizzed up and sprayed it and it sort of right over the heads of the crowd. But I thought, oh, I'm in the trajectory here. If I lean back enough and I leant back, caught it in my mouth, shoes gone. I leapt out of my own shoes. Such was the excitement.
I can't imagine this. It's so cartoon.
Why is he doing it? It's like a traditional were they celebrating
a good classic gig.
Saw Clarke and Parry Crosby and Parry.
Yeah, thank you for remembering which one you went.
No Clarky. I got 4 Muse albums.
Sorry, Clarky, if I'd known you right.
I wasn't into them at that point, actually.
Great band.
They are.
Parry and I used to put on Plug-in Baby at student parties and really air guitar the hell out of that.
Good time.
Yeah,
it was
good time.
Painting Our Nails Black for that, I think.
Painting Our Nails Black, yeah.
And then went to see Elf in the cinema the next day. What a weekend.
Yeah,
went
to see Elf in the cinema.
What a time to be alive.
And I just bought a big winter coat that you could fit 6 cans of Guinness in. Yeah. So I could fit 6 cans of Guinness into the coat without it really looking like you had 6 cans of Guinness in. And so we went to a 2 o'clock showing of Elf, drank 6 cans of Guinness each, and
is that what you were looking for when you bought the coat?
We absolutely wept.
Can I fit 6 cans of Guinness in this coat? I'll take it.
Yeah. Walking around Topshop with 6 cans of Guinness. Just going back. No.
Lean back. Put one in each of your shoes.
Wow. Yeah. The stout smuggler.
The stout. I was drinking a lot of Guinness at the time, so yeah.
Yeah, we got nicely pissed watching Alf. Yeah. We both cried.
Both cried a lot. We were very drunk. We were hungover from the night before and very drunk. It was great. Because your parents had bought us a bottle of Teachers. Do you remember they bought us a bottle of Teachers to drink in the hotel? Why would they do that?
That's a hell of a choice.
Yeah.
Drink this bottle of Teachers.
In the hotel in Manchester?
Yeah.
Wow. What a weekend.
As we were going up, I think we stopped off at your parents. They're like, I'll have a bottle of Teachers. Yeah. Polished that off in the hotel, a little before the gig, a little after. Yeah. And yeah, it was we were living high on the hog.
Where were you travelling from?
From London to Wolves to Manchester.
Yeah. What a weekend.
It was great, great fun. Oh, well, were we ever so young? I mean, weirdly, we actually looked about 85. Yeah, smuggling cans of Guinness into a cinema in the middle of the day.
Reeking of teachers.
Yeah. Teachers in the Travelodge, good times.
I can't believe that shoe story. It's absolutely incredible.
Anyway, beef solved.
Beef solved, yeah.
So, Black Hole of Crap.
Yeah. It's genuinely ceiling high with musical instruments, paperwork, exercise equipment, computer stuff, and fuck knows what else. It's all jumbled in together. Sometimes he buys new clothes, puts them in there, and finds them months later. We ordered a pizza oven last year.
What, a pizza oven?
A pizza oven.
This sounds like that documentary, The Queen of Versailles. You know, those sort of millionaires that just have rooms just full of crap. They just buy and chuck it in a room because they're just obsessed with accruing stuff.
Yeah.
So we've got a question for Deirdre. Are you gross? Question for Mary. Are you a billionaire?
Are you a billionaire?
Get in touch at Pappy's Tweet.
We ordered a pizza oven last year and I thought it had never shown up. But it's been in there the whole time.
Wow.
I've been in the room several times for various reasons, and I didn't see a pizza oven. That's how much crap is piled in there.
That's really impressive.
Now, I know it's technically not a problem. He shuts the door.
It's not his problem.
Well, there we go. He shuts the door, and I don't have to go in there.
That's what it says on me.
Oh.
Well, there we go. It's what's written.
I think you're right.
It's technically not his problem.
Now I know it's technically not his problem.
Yes. Well, there we go.
Well, that's the theory, Tom. He shuts the door and I don't have to go in there. But it bugs the hell out of me, especially when...
Come on, Clarky, hold it together, mate.
It bugs the hell out of me, especially when stuff that I have an interest in, like pizza ovens, plural, bills or presents for me, get lost in the vortex.
Oh, right. Great. Bills is interesting.
Stuff that I have an interest in.
Oh, I've got
pizza
an interest
ovens,
in bills.
Bills, presents for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the Tinder profile right there.
Okay. Now, this...
Also, presents for me. He's not bought you a present, mate. That's just an excuse. Oh, I did get you a present, actually, but it's in that room.
It's in a black hole of crap.
Lost it, I'm afraid.
I turned it into a pizza by mistake.
This is kind of a... There's a bigger thing going on here, right? There's a bigger thing going on, which is if you live with somebody, are there any areas of the house which are just for you?
Their domain.
Is there any bit of the house you go like, that's my bit, I do with it what I like.
What I like.
Exactly. Like, at your house, our bit is your crawl space. It's a special bit for us.
That's just for you guys.
Are they down there? Yeah, they're crawling around.
Night, Crosby.
So is there a bit that's just for you, or do you kind of have to accept that if you're sharing a house with a partner, then it's all your house and you have to keep it to the standard of the tidiest person?
If you're setting those rules, you've got to stick to them, right?
Yeah.
If you're saying, that's your room, come what may... That's my room. Off we go.
But it's not come what may, though, is it? You can't... If it's disgusting, then it's...
Also,
it's clearly starting to affect now. Yeah, things are getting...
Bills.
Yeah.
If bills are getting lost there, let's ignore all the sentimental stuff, the pizza oven, the presents for her. Bills relating to the whole...
Sentimental pizza oven.
But that is about... Isn't that about what goes in there?
Yes.
Like,
but if you police what goes in there, aren't you also policing the room itself?
Very philosophical question.
Thank you.
I think a room in a house can't be allowed to go completely
feral.
Feral.
Unpoliced.
Exactly. You know, because ultimately, if then that room gets, you know, damp or, you know, mice.
Yeah.
That's a whole flat problem.
Exactly, yes, that's going to spread.
I know that's a slightly dramatic response, perhaps, to the black hole of crap.
It's not going to get damp. That pizza oven is warming the place up. Yeah. Those walls are as dry as you like. If anything, it's a problem.
I go the other way. If it catches fire, that's also a whole flat problem.
I think even more so than damp.
Yeah.
And a more urgent problem.
Well, you've just got a bigger pizza oven than
that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You can just slide it under the door.
It's pretty cool, actually.
So yeah, the bathroom's up on the left. There's that room that's always on fire. Yeah,
it's just next to the kiln. Yeah,
yeah. You got any pottery that needs proving? Just whack that in there. That's good. That's good to go.
Are these bills clay?
So Parry, you're saying, if you say that's his room,
yes,
it's his room.
Yes.
Shut the door and shut your mind.
The conversation is...
shut your mouth.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Shut the door, shut your mind, shut your mouth. Right?
I think the conversation is, look, our stuff can't go into your room. That's a different matter.
Okay, yeah.
But if he's the guy who's bought the pizza oven, then he's allowed to have it in his room.
Yeah. If they bought the pizza oven together, it arrived, he put it in the room, was like, well, I'll set that up one day. And she didn't realise. Does she have to have an inventory of the room?
His room sounds much cooler than her room. Like, think about getting in that house. Which room do you want to go and have a little look in? You don't want to go in this spare... So what is it? Spare bed and clothes and books. Oh, yeah, boring.
If you do say, oh, can I have a rifle through your clothes? That's creepy. Oh, thanks for showing me around, mate. Where does your wife keep her clothes?
Oh, Foxton's, great, there's a bed in here as well.
Give me 5 minutes.
Foxton's have stopped taking my appointments. What are we going to look at today, guys? I think the answer to this, Mary, is spice up your room a little bit more.
Right.
Get your brain out of his room. Chuck some random shit, get a stuffed bird or something, and then you'll be like, whoa,
yeah.
Pizza oven be damned, look at this.
Absolutely.
Well, something a bit more interesting than a hat stand. Start with a hat stand.
Holy stuffed bird and a hat stand.
Stuffed bird and a hat stand. Two bits. Stand.
I could dress this up with your clothes.
I just think, like, you know, get a bit more spicy in your own room.
I just really like the idea of putting all the wife's clothes on the hat stand. Like, whatever you hear, do not come in. You're not allowed around my house anymore. Back in the crawl space for you.
Back in the pizza oven.
So I think you're onto it again there, Parry. I think you're right.
I don't think he is.
I don't think so.
I don't think two black holes of crap is the solution.
I think police what goes in to a certain extent, but also jazz up your own room.
I think for the sake of your marriage, if you love something, set it free.
But this is the spare room. It's not just her room, it's the spare room. Loving something and setting it free is not the same as let your partner... You chuck a pizza oven in the junk room.
If you love someone, let them chuck a pizza oven in a room.
No.
If they take it out.
Well, is the problem then the ownership of the rooms, right?
No. Let him finish that. Okay.
If they take it out,
I've got a proposed solution. They both have their own room that's under their own dominion.
Right.
But after a period of time, say every 6 months, they swap rooms.
Changing rooms.
Very, very, very good.
So it's on him every 6 months to essentially reset the room to zero.
Yeah. A little spring clean for both rooms that involves them shifting everything across. That's actually good because it will make him think about... He'll either have a terrible day every 6 months.
Yep.
Or he will have... It's a little bit like doing your taxes yearly or quarterly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you gonna have the worst ever January 31st?
Yes, every year.
Every
yes,
single
of
year.
Course.
Or are you gonna do it quarterly and it's sort of a bit of a pain in the arse? You have one really awful Sunday, you know, every 4 months.
That's it's not a bad idea. Swap the rooms every 6 months.
Swap the rooms every 6 months.
I mean, this one, it's different to doing your taxes or something because it is a purely arbitrary exercise. But I do think it's a solution.
I consider taxes to be a purely arbitrary exercise.
I consider myself bloody generous, actually, yeah. to be giving them anything at all.
I'm a real Barry, you know? I'm a good egg and a total mug. I think that might be the creative solution
to
the problem. Because I was going to say, don't call either room your room, but that's a better version of the same
thing. Because there is a difference between, you know, that's my mess and I like that mess.
Yes.
And actually, the reality, which so much more often, it's gone too far and I can't be bothered to do anything about it. And I've tried to rebrand that as, you know, part of my chaotic...
I prefer my option, though, of, like, fucking a raven and a dentist chair and be like, look at my room. You know what I mean?
Just go proper bric-a-brac stall in the entire house. Become hoarders, basically. Well, in which case, then, I guess it's a vote, because I'm with Ivo on the swap it every 6 months. Parry's turned the house into a shithole. So we've got two votes. Right? We've got
it's compelling.
It's a deciding vote for Clarkie, or alternatively, if you side with Parry, we'll throw it over to producer Emma.
I like Ivo's suggestion.
Do you?
Yeah. I think there's room for both of the ideas. turn.
I'm not saying don't get a hat stand.
Don't get a hat stand. Mary gets a hat stand and a raven.
I just think a hat stand is just too out there, guys.
Don't get a hat stand and don't not dress it up as your dead wife. And
with the face of a stuffed bird.
With the face of a stuffed bird. All of these things.
Is that Al wearing my cardigan? Look, get out of my room, okay?
And also, why are you referring to me as your dead wife?
Exactly, she's alive. Sorry, she's alive because crucially, she wrote us the message. So sorry, Mary, for not just dead naming you, but deading you. all right, in which case I've been cancelled and therefore my vote doesn't work.
So beef closed.
Beef solved!
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Beef solved.
Greetings, listener dear. Sorry to interrupt your Flat Slam listening pleasure, but I'm here to just tell you about my solo show. Tom Parry, Parryoke, will be at the Soho Theatre from the 25th to the 28th of March. And come along and enjoy yourself. Basically, if you're a fan of one third of the podcast, where it's just me talking, it'll be a bit like that. But don't let that put you off. Come along and have a good time. Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
So, Ivo, have you got a problem with a flatmate that you would like Fanshawe Standen to solve?
Well, I've got a historical beef. I don't live with the flatmate in question anymore, but I've not completely resolved it in my mind.
Okay. And a cold case.
Well, cold case reopened.
The fact is, I didn't know Fanshawe, brackets Tom, well enough to bring it to him at the time.
Interesting.
So I moved in with a very dear friend, still one of my dearest friends in the world, but a very, very tidy man.
Sure.
And I would obviously describe myself as too far on the other side of the sort of perfect, the golden mean of tidiness and organisation. I'm on the other side. I'm a bit of a mess. But I would say my friend was also on the other side.
Sure.
We both had stuff we could learn from each other. But did we learn? Did we hell? now, I moved into the flat, and it was his flat. So I was a much like Colin. I was paying rent that was going into another man's mortgage. Oh. And listen, I've got no ego about that, but it does create a power dynamic.
Yeah.
A power dynamic.
And just to clarify, you were the weak one in the power dynamic. Yes. As demonstrated by your sort of scaredy cat version of the phrase.
Yeah. I didn't have a leg to stand on. But he's also a lover of literature. And, you know, aren't we all? But again, there are degrees to this thing. He had colour-coded bookshelves with lots of classics.
I don't know how I feel about colour-coded bookshelves.
It's a big, you know, like... Is it useful to help you find a book?
No, it's an aesthetic decision.
It is an aesthetic decision. And to be fair, it looked lovely.
It does look
when
lovely.
When you get it right, it looks good.
My mate had a DVD collection that was colour-coded the other day.
Really?
But, you know, it's hither and thither. You go like, where is
everything?
And also, Nicolas Cage next to a period drama?
I think with books, because...
why is Nicolas Cage next to a period? He's certainly Nicolas not in one.
Yet.
that witch film? Is that a period drama? No.
Witch film? The Wicker Man?
No, isn't it Witch Hunter or some shit?
Is it a period
drama? No.
No, I
wouldn't. Jane Austen's The Witch Hunter.
The Witch Hunter?
someone's paying for the coven.
Someone's going to fund this witch.
Right, anyway, let's get back into this.
So when I
colour-coded bookshelf.
Now, I too am to a certain extent, a lover of literature. I've certainly accrued a few books in my time.
Oh, yes.
And like a lot of casual literature lovers, I've read a few of them. I've bought a lot more than I've read.
Absolutely. It's a lovely feeling. stealing by the book.
A lot of good intentions.
Reading a book is great when you actually do it, but yeah, a lot of the time it's a bit of a chore.
Why read it? Just buy another one. Constantly opening new chapters on my literary life. Anyway, I brought this big box of books with me to the flat, and then I went out for the day, and when I came back, he had taken from the box all of the books that clearly were deemed worthy of going on the communal living room bookshelf.
Fascinating.
Slotted them in to the
colour coding
to the colour coding system, and then the rest were in, you know, just in my room.
In the room.
And again, I loved
Thank you, Harry, by the way, for clarifying.
In the room.
In the room. In the room.
In the room. In your sad room. Little room of celebrity autobiographies and other rejects that didn't make it into the communal space. And that was the thing. I loved my friend. I was enthralled by his by how many books he owned and had read and had sorted. And it was an honour to see a few of mine, you know, up there in the hallowed turf. But it still felt slightly invasive in the room.
In the room.
Still felt like a slightly invasive and judgmental thing to do. And it made me feel quite ashamed of the vast majority of the leftover books that hadn't made it. But I didn't really know how to address it, so I just sort of went along with it.
When you moved out, did the books come with?
The books did come with.
So it wasn't like they just sort of been absorbed in, you were like, oh, I can't remember which ones are mine and which ones are not.
I feel fairly certain that I must have left a couple behind when I went, just because it had been a couple of years. But also, he did lend me his books as well. Occasionally, I would they would get dog-eared, and I would feel a bit embarrassed about that, so I would just buy a new copy.
Really? You'd borrow a book, buy a copy, and give him back the new copy?
These were in such pristine condition. Right.
Wow. Really?
I like a dog-eared book.
Yeah.
It's kind of part
it's a bit
of
lived
the
in, isn't yeah. it? It's a bit loved.
And also, it's like, definitely read that one.
Yeah.
Definitely read that one.
I just go around just breaking all the spines of my books.
Break the spines, whack a bookmark at the last page, boom, done. Done.
Highlight a couple of random lines.
Absolutely. Draw a line under a few bits. Yeah, great. Great. Yeah. Put a review on Amazon just so people, you know, there's a paper trail out there, you know, people could see. Yeah. Yeah.
And then watch a film of it.
Which is, you're now writing for the London Review of Books, aren't you? Which is, you're in real deep trouble.
You're a good guy, indeed. Yeah. I just skip to the end.
There's definitely like a pile of books by my bed that have come from the shelf to the bed of like, they've moved up a league to the intention of being read.
Yeah, absolutely.
They still don't get read.
Oh, no.
They're by the bed then.
I've now got stuff that's sort of piled on top of those books though. I like some are like propping up a mirror and stuff, and it's
so they're just part of the furniture.
They are sort
now.
Of now. They're like, so the intention of reading them would involve
7 years.
Bad luck. Yes.
7 years in Tibet, not worth the risk.
But of course, we can't solve this problem. But Tom, would you like to go and get Fanshawe?
Come on, Fanshawe.
Oh, he's on horseback, is he? Is this today?
That was a lot worse before you got married.
Ladies and gentlemen of the podcast, pleasure to be here. Thanks for asking. Listening outside there, listen to Mr. Graham there talking about his travails. I don't mind telling you, I'm a fan of the scripture myself.
All right.
A good Bible shouldn't have a cover. Not my words. The words of a man selling bad Bibles. Never could afford those covers. It's a great message to have. Hearing about your tales there reminds me of a man. You probably remember him yourself. It went by the name of Harold the Man. Harold the Man. They called him that for a reason. Big, big reputation. Lots of money, dear. Horse. He'd lost his voice. No. He had himself a nice big horse, dear. Went by the name of Harold the Horse. Oh, my God.
Good to tell the difference between Harold the Man and Harold the Horse.
Harold the Man and Harold the Horse, there. A right pair trotting around town there. We all looked up to the man. Anyway, you'll probably remember the day. Times go a-changing there. Harold comes back from the big city with some kind of noise over the hill. What's he driving there? Beep, beep, toot, toot. Harold the car. Oh. Oh. Harold the man there driving Harold the car. Oh, no. Well, people coming out their houses there. Ford the Model T. Wow. Ain't seen the like there, the devil's horse. That's what I called it. I was horribly drunk at the time. Going through a very bad patch. But anyway, cut a long story short, there Harold the horse pops his head out the stable. What's going on there, Harold the man?
Oh, was he talking horse?
No. Hey, now, come on now. He says by his expression.
Oh, yeah.
You see it in his eyes there. What about me now? He seemed to say. Yeah. As I say, I was in a very dark time looking at this horse's eyes. I was reading in a lot of things.
Well, you were on the horse as well, weren't you? A heroin addict for years.
Harold the man had let me sleep in his stable for a couple of weeks just till I got myself back together, got the practice out. Is that what lawyers do? Get their practice out?
Yeah, get your practice out.
I was getting my practice out.
Getting your practice out was why you got struck off in the first place.
No, that was never proved. That was never proved. Anyway, there I was, staying in Harold the stable. And Harold the horse, he seemed to look at me and say, well, what about me now? Cut a long story short, it got to about midnight and I put Harold the horse inside that car. To this day, I don't know what I was trying to say, but Harold the man wouldn't let me stay no more. And furthermore, I had to pay a hefty fine. So maybe that pertains to you, Ivo. I don't know, but what I'm trying to say is sometimes there's a man, sometimes there's a car, and sometimes there's a horse. And I guess that's the way it should stay. Well, I'm off now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been a real pleasure, gents. It's been a real pleasure, madam. Enjoy yourselves and enjoy your day. Bye, everybody.
Oh, and he just collapsed at the end.
He's passed
Keeled
out.
Over.
He's passed out. Just
cover him with some straw and he'll be all right.
He'll rest. He'll take him back.
He'll be all right.
Fallen asleep on Harold the carpet.
Well, Ivo, did that solve your problem?
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Oh, it absolutely did.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
It was such a good, you know, there was a metaphor in there, wasn't there?
It feels
there.
Like there was a metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my Harold,
yeah.
the man,
oh, yeah.
Were my good books.
Of course. Wow.
And Harold the car was my friend's bookshelves. And yes. Harold the horse was my... My sort of 100 most pointless things in the world, you know, my Zlatan Ibrahimovic autobiography.
Sure,
my, you know.
Can we get you in every month to decode Fanshawe stories?
Because we've never understood one yet. Even Tom doesn't understand them, which is amazing.
This is like when people speak in tongues in church, yeah, and then someone comes along and translates.
In tongues.
Really impressive, yeah.
Not when they're clacking those tongues
I'll be playing the spoons, you be clacking the tongs. We're in a blacksmith's. The old blacksmith's church. Anyway. Thank you, Ivo.
Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on the show. It was a pleasure.
If you would like to send us any beefs, of course, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Yes. We would love to hear them. You could be like Mary, or you could be like Deirdre, or you could even be like Ivo.
Yes. Ivo, have you got an email that you want to give out?
No, I don't, actually.
Stuff.
It's actually quite easily available if you dig around online, worryingly. So I think I'm going to
go for ivo.graham@gmail. That's my guess.
Slot in the ear of my birth, and you're pretty much there.
Thanks for coming in, buddy. From the sorting out your
beef. So that was the episode. Isn't Ivo a good man?
A good egg.
He's good.
It's a good
he's
egg.
Funny.
And not
he's
a mug.
Nice.
He's a good egg.
He's no mug.
And no mug.
He's no mug. If you'd like to go and see Ivo doing stand-up comedy, he really is one of the absolute best out there.
Oh, he's so good.
He's got an email. If you can work that out, email him and ask him when he's on tour.
I came close. I felt like I came close.
I think you were really close.
Moments away.
I think you were close. It's only a matter of time. One day we'll get that email.
I'll crack that code.
We've got his phone number. That's how we booked him. But yes. The email is the elusive. Yeah, that's the elixir.
You can't avoid an email.
You can't avoid an email.
That's what they say.
You can't avoid an email and you can't beat an email.
If you enjoyed the show, please leave a review on iTunes or, more importantly, recommend us to a friend.
Tell your friends about us. We'd love more people to listen to this podcast because we have so much fun making it. We put lots of work into it and we would love it to be shared by as many people as possible.
I love listening to these podcasts, but I really wish I could experience it live.
Well, Tom, you're in luck.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie, your reading of that slightly threw me, but I loved it.
Thanks.
You're in luck because we've got a couple. In fact, we've got three.
If you've live... got three, you want to see a doctor.
We've got three London flat slams coming up. We've got Tuesday the 10th of March. We've got Wednesday the 8th of April. And we've got Tuesday the 12th of May.
And hopefully by then I'll have recovered from the eye roll that producer Emma just shot me on that last joke because it cut me to the core.
So the first one, on Tuesday 10th of March, the guests for that are Matt Lucas and Jenny Bead.
Ding dong, what a booking.
Pretty exciting. And then on the Wednesday the 8th of April, we've got Joe Wilkinson.
Wallop, I've heard of him.
And another guest, TBC.
TBC's arrived?
Yeah,
my favourite rapper. You can't all roll your eyes at me.
You're not going to believe this, but TBC has actually passed away. Of TB.
Oh. R.I.P. TBC.
R.I.P. TBC. And then the 12th.
Find out what it means to me.
The 12th of this is just supposed to be a quick one, Tom. The 12th of May, we've got a guest who is hanging in the balance, but will be very exciting if we finally get to book them. So that is very good. We're also doing a couple of shows at the McCuntleth Comedy Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So go to maccomedyfest.co.uk. We're doing one on the 2nd of May, which is the Saturday at midday. We're doing one on the 3rd of May, which is the Sunday at midday. Guests, again, we haven't yet. Well, we've got a couple of them, but I've got a couple of names I really want to book before I start announcing who else is doing it.
There's always good people knocking around.
There's always good people knocking around, Mac. That should be very fun. So come along to those. If you want to get your tickets for the London ones, it's tickettext.co.uk/pappies-flatshare. And it's maccomedyfest.co.uk to get your Mac tickets, and we will see you there.
But listen, amongst all this admin, let's not forget how good a joke the RIP TBC find out what it means to me was. But most of all, thank you for your continued support. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Do you know what? You're good eggs.
You know what? You're all good eggs, and none of you are mugs.
None of you are bloody mugs.
None of you are bloody mugs.
Speaking of people who aren't mugs, this episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
The best egg. That's what I'm going with.
The absolute best egg.
The best egg.
Sunny side up.
The results are in.
The results are in. Egg of the year.
Eggum Corsham.
Egma. Emma Corsham, egg of the year.
She's got Egma, everyone. We're off to get her some cream. It started off as a tribute. It's turned into something terrible.
Some sort of weird NHS Direct. Anyway, cheers, everyone. Bye.
Please behave yourselves. We've had several complaints in recent days about the behaviour during this week's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call.
We've had some preemptive complaints about the behaviour.
People are expecting the worst.
Well, let's find out.
Well, I can tell you why.
Oh, yeah.
Because this fella's involved.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right. He's from Hogwarts.
Oh, sadly. No wonder there's been complaints.
Sadly, he's from Hogwarts. He was in the Sorting Hat ceremony.
Oh, of course he was, yeah.
And they said, this one's a Gryffindon.
This one's from Gryffindon?
He's a Gryffindon. He's going to Gryffindor. He's a real Gryffindon. Don't quote me.
I won't.
Mr. Lee Wolfenden.
Tell you what, there have been several complaints about this fellow. Several complaints about
problems.
You're never going to guess what.
I play a can with this one.
Yeah. He went into the grocer's the other day.
Again?
Yeah. Dropped his kex.
Oh, he knows not.
And started Well, he fucked every piece of fruit you can imagine.
Yeah. An absolute monster.
He fucked a kumquat. He really put the cum into the kumquat.
It was a quat when he...
It was a quat when he started.
Before he started with it. Before his squat, it was just a quat.
He fucked a banana. He fucked a lychee. But the worst thing was, he fucked a giant peach.
Oh, no.
Hence his name, James. It's James, I fucked a giant peach, leech.
Well, I'll tell you what, you wouldn't believe this.
Not more complaints.
Yeah. Is this going to be a reference to a children's book? Because we've started a really strange theme. Pressure's on, Clarky.
Is it Danny the champion of the world? Has he fucked the world?
There have been complaints.
This guy's going solo.
There have been complaints.
Well, old James fucked a giant peach. Yeah. Peach.
I only know him.
He was only in there with his mate.
Oh, no.
And of course, the shop owner.
Yeah.
Absolutely furious.
You would be.
He's like, you've got to compensate for this. At the very least, you've got to pay. But of course, this guy, he won't pay. Because it's Gordon Hodgson Day.
Famously won't pay for his mate's fucked peach.
Bad news, guys.
No.
There's been a complaint.
Not another complaint in advance.
One of our listeners pulled the big friendly giant's pants down. Pushed him over a hillock, ran between his legs, pulled apart the cheeks, and had a really good look. Yeah. That's right. We've got to talk about her behaviour. It's Natalie Cook.
Natalie Cook has had a look at the BFG's arse.
She had a big look at the BFG's arse. Cavernous.
Cavernous arsehole.
Hey, he's cavernous arsehole. A friendly cavern.
Welcoming. So...
She stayed for 3 nights.
You're never going to believe this,
there's been complaints.
Some complaints, actually. This one actually comes from Mr. Von Trapp.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Mr. Von Trapp. Yeah.
Okay. The captain himself.
Yeah, the captain himself. So, you know, after the kids had all sung So Long Farewell, Elvita saying goodbye.
Oh, yeah, I remember it well.
And they'd all gone to bed.
Of course, it was the right time.
It was the right time. Only the adults were around. I can't stress that enough. She'd been invited to the party.
Oh, actually.
She'd loved the singing.
She'd got on the list.
She'd managed to get somehow get into the party. She's very close with the Nazis.
I've heard that rumour.
So she was at the party and she thought... bit of fun. I'll fuck the cake.
Oh no. So what a wrong one.
And so she's doing a reverse cowgirl on top of this red velvet. She's having a great time of it. And a crowd has gathered. They're all applauding. But Colonel Von Trapp rocks up and says, my kids are sleeping upstairs. I'm about to sing Edelweiss. You're really changing the tone of the night. Yeah, one of them's 16 going on 17. I still don't want to see it. Won't someone think of the Lieblings?
Yes.
And he said that to cake fucker herself, Grace Siebeling.
Yeah, awful.
Awful.
That cake's one of my favourite things.
Fucking a cake and fucking a cake.
It's like Natalie Cook. She had an anal vice, didn't she?
Anal vice.
Well, guys.
Oh yeah,
you wouldn't bloody believe it.
No,
I'm so sorry to tell you. We've had a complaint.
There's been a complaint.
It's not one of our listeners, is it?
Well, George.
What?
George?
You know old Georgie.
Oh,
Georgie boy.
He spent so long on that marvellous medicine.
It's a wonderful medicine.
It was great medicine.
Yeah.
It was. You can say what you like about the dark web. You can get some great medicine off George on that.
Marvellous medicine.
Absolutely marvellous medicine. But of course this guy comes along. sticks his little dick right into it.
Oh, no.
He's swirling his dick around in the marvellous medicine. It's not going to make it grow, is it?
George said...
it's worth a try.
Sadly not. George said, give that a stir. Not like that.
He caused a stir.
It threw him into an absolute rage. Of course it did.
Of course it did, poor George.
You absolute rotter, Thomas Page.
Oh,
you're
dear.
A real twit. And that concludes this week's Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.